This morning, quickly, I want to share with you the burden I've been carrying in my heart that it has given me sleepless nights. And my wife will bear me witness here. I've not been sleeping well recently. During the night, I will not even sleep 2 hours. My wife will say, I know something is wrong. I say, yes, something is wrong. I'm burdened. I'm burdened for the church. It's affecting me. This is not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be more than this. I know there are prophecies that have gone forth. Oh, don't worry. God is going to move. No, I know God is going to move, but I need him to move now. How many of us are like that? All right. So today I want to share with us what I've called giving back to God. Tell your neighbor, giving back to God. David said in Psalm 116 and verse 12, I read it from the Message Bible. You will understand it from any translation at all. Psalm 116 verse 12. What can I give back to God for the blessings he has poured out on me? What can I give back to God? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? That, Lord, what can I give back to you? How can I appreciate you for that which you have done in my life? Has God been good to you? Have you ever been blessed by God? From where I'm standing and speaking to us this morning, I know that I can count too many reasons why our answer to that question will be a yes. Because if your answer to that question, if God has been a blessing to you, if God has been good to you, if your answer is no, maybe you are not born again yet. Even unbelievers, they are enjoying the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thought about it. For my salvation, what am I giving back? For your salvation, what are you giving back? Somebody will do something nice to you. The reasonable thing for anybody to do is to think of, oh, how can I bless this person back? How can I reciprocate this good that this person has done in my life? Think about it. Even if we just talk about sleeping and waking alone, many people they can't even sleep. I couldn't sleep for some time. Some people they cannot eat food and digest it. People have different challenges of life. But we can sleep. We wake up every day. Hallelujah. Somebody went out to Walmart. Walmart, is it a sin to go to Walmart? And they never returned home. They'll always think about these things. I came to a conclusion by the Holy Spirit that my life's purpose is to give back. One of the greatest, most important purposes of God for your life is to give back. Give back to God. The God who has blessed you. The God who created you. The God who saved you. The God who provided for you. The God who is the guarantee of your tomorrow. The God who is protecting your life. Who is protecting your family. You are driving back and forth. What are you going to give back? I came to the conclusion that one of the most important things that God is expecting you and I to give back to him is to tell others about his love. To tell others about his love. To tell others about his love. Think about it. If you are saved here today, it's because somebody told you. Somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody prayed for you. Someone saw to it that you are connected to Christ. Someone saw to it that you are connected in a church. I know that's my own story. Because the brother who came to minister to me, he wouldn't let me go. There was no excuses I didn't give. He just wouldn't let me go. I will send him away. We'll come back again. Until, just to stop him from coming, I said, I'll go to church. And that's how God cut my life. Somebody told you. Somebody interceded on your behalf. Somebody made sure you are well connected and grounded in Christ. If you are grounded in Christ. My prayer and my expectation, like the mission statement of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, is that we make heaven. And I pray God, you will make heaven. I pray God, you will not miss heaven. I pray God, I will make heaven. I pray God, I will not miss heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Think about it. In spite of every other thing we can do on earth, there are two things that cannot happen in heaven. Two things. When we get to heaven, if you are a child of God and you think heaven is a fable, it's because you are not born again yet. There are categories in heaven. Some people will live in 10-room mansions. There are hierarchies in heaven. Some people will still be in front, while others will be at the back. One of the things you can never do in heaven, it's impossible to commit sin. It's not possible for any one of us to commit sin in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. Sin does not and cannot even enter into heaven. Number one. The only place you can commit sin is on earth. And when you are a sinner, heaven becomes a mirage. Number two. You cannot witness to anybody in heaven. You can't tell anybody in heaven about the love of Jesus. You know why? Because they will be experiencing it automatically. They will just be basking in the love of God, in the love of Christ. So that's not going to happen in heaven. So don't say, oh, when I get to heaven. And the Spirit of God said to me, while I was preparing this message, believe me, this message came from a place of groaning. A place of groaning. The Holy Spirit said, when you get to heaven, you will wish that you had witnessed more. You will wish that you had witnessed more about Christ while you are here on the earth. The people we love, the people we hang around with, they will not make heaven if we don't tell them about the love of Christ. They will not make heaven if we do not witness to them, if we do not share the love of Christ with them, if we do not tell them the depths of the love of Christ. We hang out with them on earth, but we will not hang out with them in heaven. Because they will not make it. He says, who will tell them? How will they know? If somebody does not tell them, if somebody does not preach to them, how will they know? And when these people, should they not make heaven? God forbid. Because I know we'll begin to tell them now. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. God forbid that they don't make heaven. Guess who they will blame? They will blame you. That you didn't tell me. Oh, you've been my friend all this while. We laugh together. We enjoy together. We do everything together. But you never told me about Jesus Christ. You're a wicked person. That's what they will say. And I'll show you in the Bible in a minute. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, I read from verse 18 to 19. This is the Lord speaking. He said, when I say to the wicked, who is the wicked? The one who does not know Jesus. The one who has not confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. If I said to the wicked, when I said to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. That's the Lord speaking. Whose blood will be required from your hand? I pray no one's. Hallelujah. He said, yet if you want the wicked and he does not turn from his wicked ways or his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Which is to say, you have to tell them. You have to compel them. Not just tell them once, because it's just like our children. We keep on telling them the right things to do. Praise the Lord. So that they grow into it. Amen. Brethren, you are not alive today just to breathe, just to walk, just to sleep, just to eat, just to have fun. No, no, no. We have a higher purpose. We have a higher purpose for being alive. You have a higher purpose for being, no matter what your needs may be on earth. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. The Spirit of God reminded me of what he told me last week. Some of us are believing God for so many things. And he said, witness for me, and I'll solve your problems. I stand on the altar of God and I repeat it again. That is what the Lord said. He said, I will solve your problems. Go and witness for me. Telling somebody about Jesus, you will just see a quick turnaround. How God is going to step in into your situation. And I'm not saying it to cajole you. I'm telling you the truth. From the throne of grace. That higher purpose that you and I have today, to be alive in Christ, to be alive for Christ, is also to tell others about the love of Christ. Tell others about the love of Christ. Young people, the Bible says, remember the Lord in the days of your youth, because the evil day is coming. Think about it. When somebody now grows so old and they are blind, they can't read the Bible anymore. Guess what? That's when they would desire the Bible. Huh? Oh, read it to me. Read. Have you noticed? Huh? The older people get, the more they now want God. But not everybody had that benefit. Amen? As a matter of fact, a single person is more equipped to serve God more than a married person. Because you have nothing to worry about. You have nobody to worry your head about. Oh, let me tell you something about wanting to get married. Some people are in marriage now. They are looking for ways out. Maybe I should have waited. Maybe I shouldn't have married that person. I have to get married. I have to get married. Getting married doesn't give anybody's life meaning. Because if your life is meaningless as a single person, as a married person, it will still be meaningless. If you are not fulfilled as a single person, you can never be fulfilled as a married person. It's just like saying, marriage curbs adultery or fornication. Nalayo. Doesn't happen like that. It is you that will put your body under, whether you are married or not married. I didn't hear an amen to that. All right then. Praise God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and I read from the Amplified Version, the AMPC. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. But all things are from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You are a minister of reconciliation. Every child of God is a minister of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him, into harmony with God. Will you tap your neighbor and tell your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are a minister of reconciliation. Start acting like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20, the same amplified version says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are what? An ambassador of Jesus Christ. So everywhere I go, I'm supposed to be representing Jesus, not myself. You are not supposed to be representing yourself as a child of God. You are supposed to be representing Jesus. A young man asked me a question and said, Pastor, what do you think about me? I want to express myself. I said, number one, you got it wrong. You are not saved to express yourself. You are saved to express Jesus. Jesus is the one that you should express. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live the life of the Son of God, the one who died for me. So we are ambassadors of Christ. Let me quickly move on because of my time. So this is our higher purpose. This is your higher purpose as a believer in Christ. To become a reconciler. To become an ambassador of Christ. This is your major give back. This is your major give back to the blessings that God has blessed you. Prayer is not your major give back, except you are praying and interceding for souls. But prayer of God, give me. No. That's not your give back. Be a witness. Brethren, I implore you. I beg you. Be a witness for Christ. Be a witness for Christ. Be a witness for Christ. Just tell other people what Christ has done in your life. I've stood on this pulpit and I've shared my testimony too many times. Because that's what the Lord has done for me. I know how many people have been touched. The first day I shared my testimony at the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International at Sheraton Hotel in Nigeria, I saw multi-millionaires come to Christ weeping. I kid you not. The Bible says the gospel is the power of Christ unto salvation. Hallelujah. Be a witness. Tell others. Let them see Jesus in you. And tell them about Jesus. Because brethren, every other thing is going to whittle away. Every other thing is going to turn to ashes. Tell your unsaved friends. Tell the unsaved people around you, the unsaved people you know, tell them what, just like what David said in Psalm 124 and verse 2 and 3. Psalm 124 verse 2 and 3. I want to read it from the Message Bible. David said, if the Lord had not been on our side, can you tell your unsaved friends, you are my friend today? It's simply because the Lord was on my side. If it had not been for the Lord, I can't be here. If it had not been for the Lord, my heart, my life would have known me. You will not even know me. I wrote in one of the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship magazine, Voice magazine, one of my testimonies, if not for grace, every day of my life I've always known, and I don't hide it. I'm not ashamed of it. That if God had not come, if Jesus had not come into my life, nobody here will know me. I will never be married. I won't have children. You know why? Because I will have died. My life was on a fast lane to death. On a very fast lane to death. It was Jesus that pulled me back and said, I need you. Just like he's saying to you, he needs you. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell them. Let them know your experience in Christ. Everywhere you go. Everywhere. But Pastor, you know, at our job, it's against the law to tell others about Jesus Christ. You may not start by saying it, but they will see it in your life. They'll start questioning you. You are always looking nice. You're always happy. You are always doing, it's Jesus. Nobody can hold you responsible for that. It's the love of Christ. It is Jesus that makes me happy every day. You know, somebody, good morning, and say, what is good about the morning? It's Jesus. You don't know what's going on in our country today. It doesn't bother me. I'm from another kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of God. I don't live by the nonsensities that is going on around me, that is going on either in the Congress or in the White House or anywhere. No. That's not what orders my life. It is God that orders my life. You start telling them, if this person can be happy every day, I want to be happy like you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? One of the major reasons why you and I are still alive today is so that we can give back to God. Give back. You know the give back. There's a lot of give backs in America. You know, they say pay it forward. If you have been saved, pay it forward. Pay it forward. You go to, sometimes when I'm in a store, maybe a military person came to buy stuff. I'll just go there. No, don't pay. I'll just pay. I'll pay for you. Or somebody, you know, some people will be, they'll be looking for the money they want to use to buy stuff. And they are counting the pennies and, no, just step forward and just pay. I don't have to know you. I don't have to know you. Praise the Lord. Pay salvation forward. Pay it forward. Let somebody else know that there's a blessing, there is a love that has no end and is called Jesus. Many people feel unloved. People feel insecure right now. The only thing that can show them love is Christ. The only thing that can give them security is Jesus. God is burdened for you. You should be burdened for somebody else. The Bible says if we knew the terror of God, if we knew the terror of God, the terror of hell, whether we like it or not, we are all going to spend eternity in either one place or the other. Everybody, there's no middle ground. Is it our heaven or hell? The people we know, the people we call our friends, where will they spend eternity? Where will they spend eternity? If we are not telling them about the love of Christ, if we are not preaching to them, where will they spend eternity? Please think about it, brethren. The world we live in today, there are many, many debilitating diseases. Dementia, multiple sclerosis, leukemia, cancer of this, cancer of that. Please follow me. Think about it. I have the cure for cancer. I have the cure for leukemia. I have the cure for multiple sclerosis. I have the cure for all kinds of mental illnesses. And I keep it to myself. And you came to find out. What kind of a person will you call me? You're going to call me wicked. You have the solution. And you are keeping it to yourself. Look at our country today. Prescription drugs, the prices of prescription drugs are just skyrocketing. Skyrocketing. Pharmaceutical companies are just taking a mickey out of people. That's a British terminology. You know, you go to Canada, a prescription drug that costs maybe $4,000 here is just probably about $40. People are taking them to court because they call them wicked. One guy is in prison because of that. Huh? People are dying because of the cost of insulin. Our healthcare system is nothing. Healthcare is supposed to be everyday benefit. A healthy nation will be a prosperous nation. But a nation that milks its people to die. But Jesus doesn't want you to die. Jesus doesn't want your friends and my friends to die. It's the solution. We can tell them. We can tell them. We were praying the other day, early in the morning, after the general prayer. And I had to remind my children how God brought them to be so that they can appreciate God more. I said to our youngest son, do you know that the doctor said your mother can never have a child? And we both came home and we cried. And after crying, we started praying that, Lord, your word is final. Not what the doctor said. That's how your mommy got pregnant with you. In the hospital said a few times that you have died in the womb. That you are not going to live, that there's something wrong with you. It was prayer that kept you alive. And here you are today. You are 10 years old. You are taller than me, almost taller than me. And you think you are smarter. No, you are not. It's the grace of God that brought you here. That same Jesus is the one that we are saying pray. Pray to that Jesus. He's the one that brought you to be. Every one of us here is Jesus that did not allow us to die in the womb. Don't hide who you are in Christ. Don't hide who you are in Christ. Let me tell you, whether you tell them that you are a child of God or not, those who will love you will love you. Those who won't love you won't love you. Praise the Lord. But one thing is guaranteed. Jesus will love you. His love for you will never end. Hallelujah. All these things are costly. But salvation is free. Salvation is free. The blood of Jesus Christ has paid the price for sin. The sin of everyone who will accept him as Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. John 3:17-18. John 3:17-18 says, for God did not send his son into the world in order to judge. Did you hear that? Jesus didn't come to judge. He didn't come to reject. He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to pass sentence on anybody in the world. But that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him who believes in him, who clings to, trusts in, relies on him. He's not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. I like that. You will never come up for judgment if you trust in Christ. For him, there is no rejection. That is, he will not reject anybody who comes to him. He will not condemn anybody who comes to him. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, he who does not believe, he who does not cleave to, he who does not rely on or trust in him is judged already. He said those ones are condemned already. So all our friends, our pals that they don't know Jesus Christ, they are condemned already. Can you imagine being a friend with a condemned person? A condemned human being. In the sight of God, they are like lepers until they come to him. Then he will wash away their leprosy of sin. Hallelujah. Just tell them what Jesus did. Just tell them how deep the love of Christ is. You know, it surprises me when we are asking God for things as if we deserve it. I'm going to preach probably next week or sometime about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the best kings Israel ever had. He came to the throne as a young person. He grew up, was going to die of sickness. God sent his servant to him, tell him, put your house in order, you're going to die. What did Hezekiah say to the Lord? He turned and said to God, remember the things I do for you. Huh? Remember the things I do for you. I don't want to die yet. Remember the things I do for you. How many of us here can say that? And say, Lord, I don't want to die yet. Remember what I'm doing for you. And let God ask you, what are you doing for me? Huh? And that was why God added 15 more years to the life of Hezekiah. Because he could prove that, yes, I'm doing something for you. I'm not ready to go. What are you doing? Says no greater love as anyone than a friend to lay down or than one to lay down his life for his friend. You have the information. I have to run now. You have the information. You possess the information. Your life is the information. You have the information how your past can be forgiven. How God can give you a new purpose. How you can have a home in heaven. Jesus said, don't be afraid. I go to my Father's house and prepare a place for you. I'm coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back. When he comes back, what are you going to present to him? Who are you going to present to him? And say, Lord, this is the person I introduced that I told about you. You are responsible, brethren. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. Okay, come on, look at them. Say, neighbor, you are responsible for telling people around you, for telling people in your life about Jesus Christ. Say, neighbor, you are responsible for telling them about the love of Christ. Say, neighbor, you are responsible for praying for them. Say, you are responsible for making them a disciple of Christ. You are responsible for grounding them in the faith. You are responsible for making sure that they are in the church and they are connected to a fellowship of other believers. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we do this? How do we do this quickly? You know, in everything in life, most of the things we take baby steps, you know, may not be about eating. Some people don't take baby steps when it comes to eating. You know, it's voracious. Consume it right now. Praise the Lord. Somebody like me, I don't waste time on food. At all. I don't waste time. Eat it and leave it. But I know some people who will sit down there and don't look at anybody. Amen. So how do we do this? Number one, quickly. Start by writing down the name of just one person. One person you love so much. One person you care about that does not know Jesus. Just one person. Let's start with one person that doesn't know Jesus. Start by praying for them. As you have written down their names, let them become your prayer point. That Lord save their soul. Lord, save the soul of this person. That you will mention their names. Lord, save the soul of this person. Pray for their salvation. Pray that the Lord will open their heart to the gospel. Pray, it might be your colleague at work. Pray that God open the heart of this and so person to your gospel. And Father, give me an opportunity to share my story with this person. Give me an opportunity to tell these people. Create an opportunity for me, oh God, whereby I can tell this person about your love. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Then, as you are praying, you have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. Because by that time, their hearts will be ready. God will have made their hearts ready to receive the word. Some people are not ready because we are not praying for them, because we are not interceding for them. We have to be interceding for souls. As we are going out meeting people, letting our light so shine, we should be interceding for them, because that is what God is asking you and I to give back. Hallelujah. Amen. Invite them to church. Make sure they are in church. You are coming to church. Call them. I'm coming to pick you up. I'm bringing you to church today. It's going to be a great time in church today. And church, for us, everybody, let's be alive. Let there be an awakening. Let's be sensitive to new people around us. Let's be sensitive. When a new person comes in our midst, let's be sensitive to them. Many have come and gone because nobody related with them. Nobody made them feel comfortable, because I'm talking to my friend. And that's where, when you start speaking your mother tongue, but they don't understand, they feel isolated. Instead of embracing them, we are the ones driving them away. Let's be sensitive. Let them know that Wisdom Assembly is a church where they can belong. A church where they can grow. A church where they can be blessed. You know what, folks? We are better together as a family. We are what? Come on, say it with me. Everybody say it with me. Say, we are better together. As a family. That's where the power lies. We are better together as a family. We are better together, united in purpose. We are better together, populating the kingdom of God. We are better together, welcoming people into the family of God, doing everything we can. Don't think pastor is going to do this. Pastor is going to... You know what my responsibility is? I'm just doing it now. To preach, to encourage you, to challenge you, and to pray for you. Whether you know it or not, I'm praying for you. I pray for you. My family and I, we pray for you. My wife and I have people that pray for you. The Bible says, and this will be my last scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. I read from the Amplified. It says, laboring together as God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers with Him. We beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That merciful kindness by which God exerts His holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose. Don't receive the grace of your salvation to no purpose. Put it to work. Let's labor for the kingdom together. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Every other thing will be added unto you. Lately, I've realized more than ever before, there are some things I can never do by myself. It will take only God to make it happen. The things I'm believing Him for, there is nothing I can do. I'm just waiting for Him to tell me that thing to do and take the step. Hallelujah. And for those who are coming here for the first time or for the second time, the truth of the matter is, it's like you visiting my family. You can't know my family at a glance. You can't know my family at a glance. You can't know us as a church at a glance until you get closer. The blessings of this house is not for somebody who comes and just leaves. It's for somebody who stays and is ready to receive it. Then you will begin to understand the dynamics of this person, the dynamics of that person, the dynamics of this person. Don't be in a hurry to leave. There are some who are looking for a church where they can settle. Wisdom Assembly is a place where you can settle. And you will benefit here. in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You benefit here. Will you rise on your feet?